This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The new movie Strangers with Candy is a prequel to the Comedy Central series of the same name, which was created by its three stars, Stephen Colbert, Paul Dinello, and my guest, Amy Sedaris. Sedaris is a performer who has collaborated with her brother, the writer David Sedaris. Strangers with Candy is inspired by after-school specials, but the characters learn all the wrong lessons. Amy Sedaris plays Jerry Blank, a 47-year-old ex-con, junkie, and prostitute who dropped out at 15 but has decided to return to high school and pick up where she left off. In this scene, she walks into her first class. Her teacher is played by Stephen Colbert.
We have a new student.
Jerry Blank.
Okay, Mr. Blank, why don't you tell us something about yourself?
Oh, all right. Well, hello. Well, I'm Jerry Blank, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm also addicted to amphetamines as well as mainline narcotics. Some people say I have a sex addiction, but I think all those years of prostitution was just a means to feed my ravenous hunger for heroin. It's kind of like the chicken or the nugget. The point is, I'm addicted to gambling. Thank you.
I asked Amy Sedaris what she did physically to play the character Jerry Blank.
Well, I have a fatty suit on. I had one made years ago to fool my father that I had gained weight. David wrote about it. I'm sure everybody knows about that. But I wanted, you know, I'm not someone who likes to play sexy or pretty or anything like that, but with a fatty suit on, I can do it. And so I wanted to play, it just made me make her, like, really physical and sexual. And so I like that. And she's a loser, and she's... And there's something about playing losers that I like, too. You know, you have to try harder, you know, and they're always trying to be liked, and I like playing people like that. But at the same time, Jerry likes herself. I like myself, and all my characters like themselves. And I like people who are unattractive, who like to dress up to be attractive, but aren't really that attractive. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, well, tell me why you like that.
Because they have so much working against them. I like having stuff to work against, you know? Like, in real life, you know, it's the opportunities are different for unattractive people than they are for pretty people. And I just, everything's just harder. And I like playing people that have a hard time.
Well, you know, and also in situations like that, things that are supposed to be pleasing and seductive become really menacing. Like, there's a scene in which you're kind of doing this seductive dance for somebody who you're trying to seduce, and it's so wrong in every way.
The desperation,
Jerry, exactly.
Just wants to be liked. And I like the hairstyle. I wanted to have a professional golfer's hairstyle. And I like short haircuts on women. And I liked, for wardrobe, I just told Vicki Farrell, who did the wardrobe, that I owned a snake. And that's all I ever told her. So everyone, you know, really brought Jerry Blank alive. And the facial expression, you know, I mug, you know, and I like making faces. And she's, that character is all in all the plays that David and I write together. She's like always the actress. And then I just give her a different background for each play. It's like those actresses that think they're versatile, but they're not. You know, it's always the same person. And you're like, but wait a minute. You know, you want me to believe that you're, you know, a policewoman? You know, they're just never convincing. Mm-hmm. And so I always think of the character like Jerry Blank. It's the same thing. It's always that actress that I play. And then I just give her different backgrounds. And this time she got to be Jerry Blank. So she's the true actress. I'm more like, I'm just a clown. I'm not an actress.
So wait a minute. So this is like a double image here. You see yourself as impersonating this actress who actually gets roles in movies.
Are you high? Yeah, exactly. I know. Even when I have to audition for something, I can't read it unless I do that voice, because then I know where to make pauses. I'm a horrible reader, you know. I'm just not good at it. Or if I have to read something, understand it. If I read it in that Jerry Blank type voice, and I'm like, oh, okay, I know where to put the pause, or I know how to read it, or I know how to understand it now. It's kind of weird, but it's just easier for me to do things through her.
Now, you're actually very attractive, and I think
you only say that because I play someone
that.
Ugly.
Yeah.
I really believe that. People will say, gosh, Amy, you're so pretty, but I'm like, you wouldn't say that if, you know, I just tend to play people who are a little unattractive. So, I mean, I don't usually think that people would really say that to me if they didn't, see that I played on attractive people. Don't you know what I mean?
Right. You mean if we weren't measuring?
If I played someone pretty, if I was a pretty cop on TV all the time, or was in Sex and the City and all that kind of stuff, I doubt you'd say, "Amy, you're so pretty," because then you'd say, "Oh, she knows she's pretty because she always plays those pretty parts," you know.
So do you
think I'm pretty?
Well, I guess what I'm really wondering is, are you self-conscious about your looks, or were you ever, like, did your looks ever really matter to you one way or another?
I think of myself as one big prop, and I'll do anything for a laugh, and I think, like, I like the idea when I have to get dressed up and go someplace, it's very special to me, and I like to do my own hair and makeup, and I like clothes that I own, I don't like to be dressed for anything, and that way I feel like I'm dressing up. But I don't really break it down and think of myself, oh, am I pretty or unattractive? I know I'm not completely ugly where people shy away, you know, like the Elephant Man, you know, I know I'm not like that, but I just don't think about it.
Do you usually think of yourself as one big prop, like when you're not on stage, how do you dress and how do you look?
Seems like I'm always in something homemade or an apron, I'm barefoot at home. I dress for comfort, elastic waistbands. it's true, you know, and I'm just very comfortable. I remember growing up, I had a neighbor who was she was so unattractive. I would go to her house and her hair would be just a mess, like a monkey, you know, and you could kind of see her scalp through her head and through her hair. And she was always in the basement and it was dark and she was sewing. And then when she had to dress up and go out, she was gorgeous. And I remember thinking, God, your mom is like so beautiful. She would put on wigs and lots of makeup and beaded gowns, and she was nothing like the woman during the day. And I think that really affected me. You know, I remember thinking, "Wow, what a transformation!" And I like that. I don't get recognized that much on the street. You know, I like playing, you know, being in disguise.
Now I want to get back to the voice that you do as Jerry, and you've said that you can only do line readings when you're in a role in her voice. Would you do her voice a little bit for us so we can hear it back to back with your voice?
Sure. She kind of sounds like this. Hey, Terry, how's it going? Yeah, it's pretty hot out here today. That's kind of how she talks.
Yeah, well, it's more nasal, and it also sounds older than your voice does.
I always play older for some strange reason. And then David said to me one day, he goes, "What are you going to do when you're like 56? And I go, "That's when I'll play teenagers." You know? I don't know. I've always liked playing older. When I was younger, I used to pretend that I would dress up like my mother, and I would try to fool my friends, like David's friends, when they would come over, and I would pretend I was mom, and they would fall for it. I was just thinking about that the other day. Like, but I must have been pretty good for them to fall for it, you know, because I'm a big collector of wigs and I props and, oh gosh, wardrobe. I mean, I save everything, and I dressed up just like my mom, and I truly convinced several people who came to my house that I was the mother. I don't know. I like playing older.
How old were you when you started getting into props and disguises?
Gosh, I have no idea. It must have been. Gosh, I know in third grade I got my first fall, which I still have, and then I get a wig every Christmas still. My first wig was in third grade. I'd say I was, you know, first, second grade, you know, making faces and playing around. And I have stuff from when I was a lot younger.
My guest is Amy Sedaris. She co-wrote and stars in the new movie Strangers with Candy. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Amy Sedaris, and she stars in and co-wrote the new movie Strangers with Candy, which is a prequel to the Comedy Central TV series of the same name. You know, one of the things I find really interesting about you and your brother David Sedaris is that you're like flip sides of the same coin in the way. You know, in his personal essays, he often writes about just the kind of thing that most people would try to keep secret because they'd find it embarrassing to reveal. Certain obsessions, habits, embarrassing situations, physical problems, stuff like that. And that's exactly what he'll focus on to reveal to everybody in his writing. And you've always been into disguising, into kind of having some kind of disguise that separates you from the self that's, you know, that kind of keeps your own self hidden and puts a mm-hmm. kind of other self between you and the rest of the world. I don't know what my question is exactly, but you seem kind of opposite in that sense.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because I was thinking of that last week, too, because I was thinking someone was asking me a question about drama. You know, I love watching anything serious. You know, I love drama. I love people who can cry on the spot. I love real actors. And I don't want to do those roles because I kind of feel like that's who I am in my real life. Like, if I'm in a relationship or whatever, from at home with you talking, then I'm going to be who I am. You know, I am who I am. I'm a pretty real person. And so to me, to do that in front of a camera, I kind of like, why would I expose myself like that? That's who I am. That's not fun. I don't feel like I'm playing. I want to feel like I'm pretending. And if that's me, then I don't really feel like, it's just not as fun. And plus, then what am I in real life? What am I when I'm, let's say I'm with a boyfriend, I'm crying my eyes out, then that's real. If I can do it on the spot in front of a camera, that's strange to me. You know, I'm trying to figure out how to articulate it, because someone thinks it's fear and I'm just, you know, afraid to do it. And I'm like, no, I just don't want to. You know, I like feeling like I'm playing. And if I have to memorize lines and have a true moment and all that stuff, it's just like, okay, but aren't there other people out there who can do it better and who want to do this? I just don't see the fun in it. But that's why I like to see that stuff or read those kinds of books. You know, I like the real stuff.
You know, I was mentioning how your brother David Sedaris will write things that are, like, so personal, exactly the kind of things that other people might not want to talk about. I remember once he gave a talk at an author's breakfast, and he'd been flying around a lot on tour, and one of the things he talked about was a boil on his behind.
Yeah.
And everybody's
all heard about that boil.
Right. Everybody's eating breakfast, and that's what he's talking about. But it was hysterically funny. It was just absolutely hysterically funny. But that was so typical of him. Would that be very counter to your personality?
Well, no, I would totally do something. I think everyone in my family is like that. You know, you just kind of put it out there. It's like, well, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. Or, you know, a lot of people think, oh, you're doing it for shock value. Or, and you're like, no, you're just doing it because you can or you want to. Or it's just the way your take on something. That's the first thing you think of. You know, I remember David helping me in when I was in high school and I had to memorize like the Julius Caesar speech, you know, friends, Roman countrymen. And he had me do it in a completely different, you know, way than standing up and just saying it. He had me do it in like this talk show format for the class. You know what I mean? He would always help me with any kind of project, but he would make me see it in a different way. Or, why don't you do it this way? You know, don't do it the way they expect you to do it. Try it this way. And it would be a lot more fun.
How did you do Friends, Romans, and Countrymen as a talk show guest?
I kept breaking up the conversation, like, tell me where you are, you know, who are you speaking to right now? Friends, Romans? I just kept interacting like I was being interviewed, but it was just me doing it. You know what I mean? So I would just keep changing seats and going back and forth. And I would break up the speech by asking the question that would be in the speech, you know.
What did your acting teacher think?
Oh, well, it wasn't for acting. It was for English.
It was for English.
But I had I took acting in school, and he was always we would just improvise, or we would audition for plays that we would never put on because the school didn't have the money. So, at some point, it was like I had to stop taking drama because he was like, there's nothing else to do here. You know, you've done it. But I won, like, drama awards, and so I was kind of like that person in school. And I was still in Girl Scouts, you know, and I was a Girl Scout until my senior year of high school. I loved Girl Scouts.
What did you like about it? It's so not your character.
But that's just it. Well, it is who I am. I love crafts. I like getting together with a group of people and just doing things. I mean, all we did was like play games and sell cookies, and there weren't that many of us. You know, go on field trips, go camping. I did a lot of that when I was younger. I was in a lot of clubs. I was in junior achievements. I was always trying to sell something, and I still do that today with my cupcake and cheese ball business. I have to make a dollar. You know, I have to see it, and I have to see it in a jar, and just I have to have several jars in my apartment, and I love everything about selling a product.
When you were in the Girl Scouts, did you like having a uniform?
I love uniforms. I collect uniforms.
You do?
Yes, I do. I have a lot of uniforms. I love them. David always said, he goes, I always remember Amy being in uniforms, you know, coming and going, always in a uniform. Yeah, I have my Winn-Dixie uniform, my Red Lobster uniform. I have a beautiful nursing uniform. I have a UPS uniform, police uniform, hospital gear. I have a lot of, there's a uniform in, it's like a baton twirling uniform that Tammy Little Nut wears in the movie Strangers with Candy. She wears my green little outfit. I drag all my props to every photo shoot, you know. I'm like, here you go. Here are all my props, my glasses, my, you know, uniforms. What are we going to do? Huh. I'm like a little traveling one-man band.
How do you feel when you're the subject of your brother David Sedaris's fiction? Or, you know, a personal essay, I should say. And he's writing about you and maybe, you know, revealing something that you wouldn't necessarily want revealed, or maybe you would. I don't know. Does he ask you first?
If you see that son of a bitch, no, David doesn't have to ask me, you know, because I know David's not going to write something. David knows what he can write about and what he can't write about, so it's usually okay, you know. He'll send me stories, you know, and the fatty suit story I didn't see till it came out in print, but he's never embarrassed me. One time he said something on the radio about, I rock in bed on my side at a rapid motion. That's where I get a lot of my thinking done. And, he mentioned that once on the air, and I remember thinking, oh, wow, that's odd that he would mention that. Like, I've never told anybody that before, and it's just because I never thought about mentioning it. So that kind of just threw me off guard for a little bit, but it was fine. You know, I'm not embarrassed by it. It's just odd that he would say it. I didn't think it was coming, you know. But I have to rock, cause that way I can think about stuff. You know, some people go for runs or get on the, you know, treadmill and walk or, mm-hmm. you know, I just have to be moving and rocking. And that's why I could never have hair extensions. And that's why I have a huge nest in the back of my head. It's from rocking. All my hair's all knitted up. It's pretty funny.
Now, you have a book that's coming out in the fall.
Yes, I do.
That's called I Like You, Hospitality Under the Influence. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing in the book.
Well, it's I've always been, I like to cook. My mom, everyone in my family's, we cook for ourselves. And I've always wanted to put together a cookbook. So this book is all my favorite, you know, all my jackpot recipes. And then I have a craft section because I like crafting. Or I like coming up with the idea and having other people craft. I'm really good with ideas. I just can't always execute it. I don't have the skills. And then I just have different chapters on different, I put myself in different situations to entertain, like if someone's grieving, what to do. Like when my mom died, that was a challenge. You're having people come to your house, what do? You're certainly not up for it. A challenge about, you know, feeding a lumberjack, you know, hot lunches or having a children's party. And so I took the book seriously. You know, I thought I'm going to do a serious book on, you know, hospitality because, you know, I grew up in the South and there were these hospitality shows that I was obsessed with. And I think, you know, I just love everything about it. So Paul Dinello was reading it and yawning completely throughout the whole thing. And then he said the humor in the book came from Paul making fun of me. You know what I mean? Him commenting on me taking it so seriously. So now the book is a little bit more entertaining than what I wanted. But it's just me. I shot everything in my apartment. I hired a small team to make the crafts. I made all the food, and it's been a total learning experience because I'm not a writer. So, I mean, I can write on my feet, but I'm not a disciplined writer, and so it was really hard.
Do you give a lot of parties?
I'm a last-minute entertainer. You know, I'll say, hey, why don't you come over tomorrow night and we'll do so-and-so, and then it kind of develops. And then I always sell stuff at my parties. Like, I'll put, like, last night I had people over, and then stuff I want to get rid of that I feel too guilty putting in the hallway, I set up my sale table, and I have, like, almost empty bottles of lotion, dish detergent, soap, sponges, if I have pharmaceutical goods, whatever I have, and everything's for 25 cents. And I only take quarters, not two dimes and a nickels or three nickels and a dime. And I set up my little table and I take it very seriously. I just like the transaction. And then I sell what I can.
That's crazy.
But it's not crazy, Terry, because I bet there's a lot of stuff in your house. Next time you have people come over and you think, oh, you know what? I'm done with that book. I don't want to keep it. Someone will buy it for 25 cents. And larger sale items I put in my hallway, like buckets and fans, you know, but people are really happy to get it. And it's a quarter, you know, of the DVD of Valley of the Dolls I sold last night for 25 cents.
Now, these are your friends. How come you're not giving them away? How come it's not like a freebie table?
No, nothing's for free. I like 25 because then I can use that quarter to do my laundry. And I just like them have the transaction. They have to pay for it. And I'm not going to break a dollar. It's like, go get a quarter. I'm very picky about it. I like how people will look at the table and they look at stuff. They pick it up. They put it down. It's really fun.
Amy Sedaris, thank you so much for talking with us.
It was so nice talking to you.
Amy Sedaris co-wrote and stars in the new movie Strangers with Candy. It opens June 28th in New York and in other cities in July. Her book, I Like You, Hospitality Under the Influence, will be published in the fall. Coming up, John Powers recommends a new spy novel by Alan First. This is Fresh Air.